Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I have a feeling it's going to be beautiful.
Everything's going to be
Hello and welcome to the Tawonga Institute's continuing training for summer camp professionals about preparing for a safe and successful summer camp season. We're sponsored by the Foundation for Jewish Camp, where Jewish summers make a Jewish future. I'm Steve Gershick, and in studio today is Ken Kramars, longtime executive director of Camp Tawonga, based in San Francisco and operating in Yosemite National Park, along with Robin Parvin, Emergency Preparedness Liaison for the Sausalito Sustainability Commission, also right here in the Bay Area. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here again. I'd like to tell you that the series is meant to get you started in incident preparedness and is not a substitute for complete training in the incident command system, legal advice, or other guidance. I'm turning my hat forward now towards Ken, and we're going to talk about communication in an incident. Ken, what is good external communication, and why is it so important?
It's important because in an era of the 24-hour news cycle and instant posting on social media, people's expectations of information have accelerated. And you got to feed that in some fashion. You know, in addition, there's a lot of built-in tensions during an incident when it comes to sharing information with your community. There's a tension between accuracy on the one hand and speed on the other. And there's a tension, to be honest, between people's desire to know and what they need to know.
How do you resolve this tension?
Well, this is the job of the incident commander along with her or his public information officer. So let me share with you some of our highest level thoughts about what makes for good communication. These are like our top tips. First, one person speaks for the agency. Now, you guys know, Robin, you know, when you have information, the first thing you want to do is tell somebody about it, right?
That's right.
So in a good system, everybody in your community has been pre-trained to not do that. Your staff, your seasonal staff, your board of directors, they've all been told in the event of an incident, only the incident commander speaks for the agency. Everybody else, nothing. Second thing, all communications have to be ohmed out in advance.
Oh, yes. As a reminder, we spoke about ohm in podcast one, and the ohm form is a podcast resource.
So ohming it out is, just as a short reminder, this is when we ask what we want the reader or listener to feel or to know or to be able to do. So all your communications get ohmed out. Third thing is, we only share facts. We don't share speculation or guesses. We know from conventional media how easy that is to get out of control, but we don't do that. We stick to the facts. And we also try to direct our readers or our listeners to third-party, independent, or neutral fact sources. So we're in a national forest. When there's a forest fire, for example, we direct people to something called the InsiWeb. That's an online resource managed by the government that gives sort of minute-by-minute updates on the course of an incident. That way, instead of us having to, every 15 minutes, update information, people can go directly to the government source.
That's better, because you only want to focus on the incident in your own space.
That's right. Next thing is that when you're writing any kind of information, your tone should be positive, but not Pollyanna-ish. And you got to speak in a natural voice. You're not a spin doctor. You don't want to sound like one. The next thing we want you to remember is that the media that you control is more important than the public media. Okay, you control things like your email, your Facebook groups, your broadcast texting, your hotline, your website, your phone calls. These are much more important than the so-called public media.
I understand. Now, I've done many press releases for events, and that was your basic what, when, where, how. Are you talking about this kind of media?
Yes, I am. You're going to get calls from reporters, potentially. You're going to have reporters driving up to your gate. Do you have to answer their calls? You don't. Do you have to let them into your gate? Absolutely not. Private property. And you're going to get lots of different kind of come-ons from reporters. Hey, you know, just help me out. I'm on a deadline. You know, my editor really wants to get this in tonight's news. You're under no obligation to talk to them at all. And just a reminder, your public trusts you. They've sent their children to you. They trust you. So if you can give them honest information in a timely way, that's going to be much more reliable than anything you're going to hear off the public media. The next thing you have to remember is, as you release information, you've got a lot of different constituencies. You've got your internal staff. You've got your board of directors. You've got the parents of current campers. You've got the parents of past campers. You've got the parents of kids who are coming to the next session. So you have to strategically decide in what sequence you're going to release information.
These tips that you're discussing right now are available as one of our podcast resources. What should a camp director do now?
Well, they want to remember a couple more things. They want to remember that once they've written a script, and I'm talking about like a 25-word or less summary of a situation, they stick to the script, whether it's what they're reading to a person who's answering the phone or whether it's how they're talking to board members, stick to the script.
25 words sounds very compact. You know, why not 50 words or 100 words? Get all the details in there. What's important about such a short script to distribute to everybody?
Well, in our experience, regardless of how complex the incident, you can summarize it in 25 words.
Does this help people remember what to say if it's such a short script?
Yes. Yeah, it makes it easier for a person to repeat it if they're doing 150 phone calls. But also, you want a consistent message across all your medium. It's the same script you're going to use talking to the board, posting on Facebook, or telling reporters.
And so what do I want to think about as I'm constructing this script? What are the essential things that I want to put into that statement?
Like we heard Robin say before, it's the who, what, when, where, how. And the last tip we want to share is, it's about your 911 call, because we're all encouraged to call 911 in case of an emergency. But you have to remember, that is also your first public announcement. Because what you say to 911, in addition to being recorded, as soon as those emergency responders are dispatched, responders are starting to tweet, hey, I'm on the way to such and such a camp. As soon as they get to your camp, they're starting to tweet, here's what I'm doing at camp thus and such. And in addition, there are civilians who monitor police and fire department scanners, I don't know, just for fun. And those people start posting on social media. So the clock is starting to run as soon as you call 911.
And of course, you want to have somebody assigned to monitor that social media so they're feeding that information back into the command center?
Precisely. That's part of the public information officer's three roles. The public information officer is in charge of monitoring what's going on in the media, producing new media, and distributing it.
So what should a camp director do right now to get ready?
First thing is, establish what your channels of communication are going to be. You have things like email, Facebook, broadcast texting, hotlines. That's a passive number you can call into for information, your website, and potentially other media. So you've got to establish what those are going to be and make sure they're all in working order. Once you've established your channels of communication, you want to inform camp parents before their session starts precisely how you're going to communicate with them, so they know what to expect.
Well, thank you, Ken and Robin, for another informative episode. And thanks again to our sponsors, the Foundation for Jewish Camp.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Ken.
And thanks to you, camp directors. It's so wonderful. The work you're doing with children is so important. And on behalf of the whole industry, we just thank you so much. And just remember, it's going to be a safe and successful summer, and everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.